The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Buildup with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
All right, what's happening, everyone? We are getting ready for the Sharks to take on the Jets tonight at 7 o'clock right here on the Sharks Audio Network. Pre-game coverage starts at 6:30, and we do have some news on the San Jose Sharks. It is Michael Mesa going to injured reserve. Obviously, he can still be sent back to the AHL on a conditioning loan from that point, but there are a couple qualifiers to that. We're also looking at Ryan Reeves being back for the San Jose Sharks. It is likely that William Eklund will get moved to IR, and that will make room for him, and there will be some roster decisions to figure out. Some of the lines per Max Miller at this morning's practice were Toffoli, Celebrini, Smith up top, Kurashev, Wenberg, and Colin Graf. Moving up to that second line, third line Skinner, Delandria Cardwell, fourth line Goodrow, Reeves, and Gaudette. And also the defensive matchups are going to be Orlov, Liljegren, Ferraro, Klingberg, Mook Madulin, Deharnay, and Dickinson Letty out there skating as well. So we don't know exactly what the lineup will be tonight. We do know that Nedeljkovic was off the ice first, so that will be likely him in net for San Jose tonight, but things can obviously change. Also, a pretty cool quote that I wonder how it makes Jonathan Toews feel. Like, man, I've been at this for a while, but Celebrini says that Jonathan Toews was the first hockey jersey he ever got and said he's excited to play against him tonight, which I think is pretty cool, and I think we're all happy that Jonathan Toews is back healthy and playing and looking like a productive player, and you know that we all know he is capable of being. So I think that's pretty cool, obviously, to get a little story like that of Celebrini going up against another one of these guys that he obviously looked up to earlier in his career. But you know, honestly, I want to see this test of San Jose. Beating Seattle, who's off to a hot start, is one thing. Winnipeg, an established contender in the NHL, if the Sharks could beat them, that would be also very, very, you know, indicative of how far they have come in just a short time early this year. That's not my expectation, guys. I just want to be very blunt about that. I still think the Sharks are not at a level where they can say, yes, we are going to beat Winnipeg. If they beat Winnipeg tonight, then yeah, I'm going to be very excited and see, okay, then what do they do against Florida tomorrow night on the second night of a back-to-back? But these are the small first steps we need to be looking at with San Jose. These are the, you know, the moments to where they say, okay, if they're beating good teams, the regularity, we need to start rethinking about how we really view them. And I'm not talking about playoffs. I'm not talking about any of that jazz until that's a realistic conversation. But I need to see where the Sharks are against a very good team like Winnipeg. They obviously got throttled by a very good team in Carolina earlier this year. They beat a team like Colorado. Colorado is on the second night of a back-to-back. It doesn't mean everything, but it is a relative qualifier when we look at their performances. But let's say the Sharks beat Winnipeg tonight. You start thinking to yourself, okay, how do they do in game number two against a team that is as high quality as Florida, even if they don't have all their star power due to injuries? Again, these are just the things that we talk about. It's still early in the season. This is game 15 for San Jose. There is a lot that will be determined between now and obviously the month of April, or maybe more importantly, the Olympic break and then eventually the trade deadline. So all things we're keeping in consideration. But hey, let's talk a little bit about the opponent tonight, the Winnipeg Jets, as we are now joined by the voice of the Jets, Paul Edmonds. Paul, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
I'm good, Ted. Good to be in California. Good to be in Northern California. Let's see what the game presents tonight, because I know that the Jets are looking forward to a bounce back from Los Angeles, and certainly the Sharks are looking forward to continuing on what they did against the Seattle Kraken, and maybe see if they can beat the Jets for the first time in five games.
Well, you know, we don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but like we were just riffing upon before we started rolling here, the Sharks have, you know, definitely seemingly taken some strides in the early goings of this year after the first six games in which they were 0-4-2. But, you know, obviously the paradigm is very different for this Winnipeg team. You know, I don't know if Stanley Cup or bust is the right terminology of which I would frame it, but I also don't think it's probably too far off, considering when I look at this lineup, Paul, the talent is staggering, and that's why this team is once again off to such a nice start.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think the expectation isn't from the exterior sources when it comes to this team, like the fan base or certainly management. I think it comes from inside the room. And there's an expectation with this team, with themselves, that they certainly want to be better than they were last year. Now, how do you beat a 56-win year and then get to President's Trophy Championship? Well, you don't necessarily have to attain those numbers, but what you need to do is you need to get past the second round of the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, were it not for a penalty and an unfortunate situation with Mark Scheifele's father, they might have been there. You don't know, but they want to get further into the playoffs. That's where this team is built for. That's what they're thinking about. That's why the 82 games do matter to the Winnipeg Jets, but the start that they've had, they haven't loved. There's some elements to their game that they want to improve. And I think that they understand subconsciously that this is a marathon. So if they can work those kinks out as they go along, continue to win games, continue to vie for top spot in their division, then they'll feel really good about where they need to get their game to when it comes to late April and early into May. So you're absolutely right. The expectation on this team certainly doesn't come from anywhere else but on this team itself.
I know that the obvious end result of the game the other night against LA was not preferred with a loss, but I also got the impression from some of the post-game commentary and just overall thoughts that not only were they not happy with the outcome, they were unhappy with the result, whereas prior to that, the road had been, you know, looking like Winnipeg, looking very similar to last year.
Well, they were 4-0 going into that game with Los Angeles, and it was interesting because this team's never really had a problem providing and getting offense going and scoring goals. Well, they didn't do enough, quote unquote, from Scott O'Neill, the head coach, they didn't do enough offensively to win the game. But they liked what they gave up, and that wasn't a whole lot. I mean, they gave up a special team goal, they gave up an empty netter, and they gave up one goal. They did have a goal called back. So, look, the other thing is, too, Los Angeles was a team that had the best home record in the entire National Hockey League last year and hadn't won on home ice until the Jets rolled in. I mean, something was going to break there, right? So from that standpoint, Ted, you know, Winnipeg ran into a tough team in a tough environment and a tough scenario. But they didn't mind a lot of elements to their game. They need to have a bounce back, certainly tonight, and in the form of a win. But they will be challenged by San Jose, and they know what's coming. I mean, San Jose is a team that will play fast. They've got some veterans, as you know, mixed in with those young kids. And sometimes they feel that they might play a little loose. But the Winnipeg Jets don't want to get into a loose environment. They do not want this thing to be 7-6 or 6-5 tonight. So that's where the interest and the intrigue comes for me. How does Winnipeg bounce back and face a team that would like to maybe hit fifth gear by the third minute of the first period and continue that all the way through until the final buzzer?
Connor and Velarde on the wings of Scheifele is quite a daunting challenge for San Jose tonight. And then I obviously go to the stats at this point, 20 points already for Scheifele, 17 for Connor, 13 for Velarde. Is that about as dangerous a line in the NHL right now? And I don't even mean just in the current form, but I just mean across the board in terms of the production and the damage they can do.
Yeah. And they can hurt you in different ways too. I mean, when you have not just that 5-on-5 play, which I'll talk about in a second, but they've got Scheifele and Connor killing penalties too. So when those two are aggressive on you and can get a bobble or a loose puck that's a 50-50, chances are, especially Mark Scheifele, he's going to win that battle and he's going to turn it the other way and try to create a scoring chance. And with Kyle Connor's speed, it's just second to none to try to, you know, hold him up or keep him from getting a good scoring chance. And he doesn't mind shooting the puck either. There's a real good complement, a real good pair between those two. They played together for a long time. And the guy that's come in a couple of years ago, and he's had some injury issues, but so far this year got off to a slow start and now 5 goals, is Gabe Velarde. I mean, a big right-handed shot that's hard to move. He's got excellent hands as well. He's an excellent complement to the other two guys. It's a line that is hard to handle. And certainly when they are playing very well in their own zone, they don't spend much time there because they can win puck battles, and then they turn it north and away they go. And the other part of it is they're very good at grinding and churning down in the offensive zone. So they will wear you out. So from the distribution, standpoint, from the shooting, from the playmaking, it's all there in that package of three players, and they can beat you in a multitude of ways. And that's why you're seeing the hot start, certainly from Mark Scheifele especially, but also Kyle Connor. I also think that Mark Scheifele's trying to play himself on to a spot on Team Canada for the Olympics, of which he was snubbed last year for at the Four Nations face-off. So there might be a little underlying motivation for Mark Scheifele as well as trying to put this team on his back and carry them through the regular season and then maybe beyond into the Stanley Cup playoffs.
What has been your impression of Jonathan Toews up to this point?
I thought he's been great. I mean, just a consummate pro, Ted. He's come in and he's tried to get better, and he has every single game. He has put a great amount of pressure and expectation on himself. He has worked very hard to get to this point. Boy, he has really solidified that second line center spot for the Jets. First and foremost, giving another guy the team another guy as an option that can really win faceoffs. So Winnipeg's starting more with the puck when it comes to Jonathan Toews. That helps them certainly drive offense, or it helps them get out of their own zone so they're not playing defense if it's a defensive zone faceoff. He's also combined of late, I think they found a really good partner with him, and that is Vladislav Namestnikov, and also then on the other side, Alex Iafallo. And the three, there was some mixing and matching that was going along early in the season and then into the second and third week where you didn't know exactly what that line was going to look like. Well, they found a couple of flanks and a couple of partners for Jonathan Toews. He's been really, really good. I mean, he makes everybody, I guess, the best compliment that I have seen from Jonathan, and him being a Winnipeg guy and knowing of him and watching him from the time he was 12 years old and hearing about him when he was 14, because he was such a stud in minor hockey or youth hockey in the city and in the province. He makes everybody better around him. And he's certainly done that, I think, with Vladislav Namestnikov, who they've moved out of the second-line center role into a second-line left winger. His offensive production speaks for itself. And then the other part of that is Winnipeg now has a really good 1-2 punch when it comes to the offensive lines. And that's without Cole Perfetti in the lineup as well, who has missed all of these games. And this will be game 14 because of injury that he suffered back in training camp in the exhibition schedule.
I was also going to ask about Samberg. Has there been any update on his timeline?
So Perfetti skated today in the morning skate without a non-contact jersey on for the first time. So he's getting close. I don't know that he'll be ready to go on Sunday when the Jets go back down to the LA area and play Anaheim and the Ducks, or whether he might be a factor in Vancouver coming up next week. Dylan Samberg, I believe, is just a little bit further away. He was still in a non-contact jersey as the team skated this morning. But I do believe he's getting closer to shedding that orange color that the Jets use for non-contact and getting into a regular jersey. So, you know, at 9-4 for Winnipeg and trailing Colorado for first in the Central Division, Winnipeg's not that dissatisfied with where they are, considering they've had three key injuries coming out of training camp that only one player has now returned, and that's Adam Lowry, who will play his second game since having hip surgery in the offseason tonight against the Sharks.
You talked about Olympic teams, and I think that we are all in agreement that Connor Hellebuyck will be, you know, the guy for Team USA. Is his status, is he getting into that range where his play might be elevating him above Jonathan Quick, who, even though he was a king, is, you know, that's one of my all-time guys as a hockey player just because of how important he was to American hockey?
I'm going to say that if there is a Stanley Cup that ever happens for Connor Hellebuyck, he might elevate himself to being the best goaltender in the history of American hockey. I mean, you know, three Vezinas, you've got a Hart Trophy, you've got a couple of Jennings trophies. I mean, the list goes on the individual slash team accomplishments, because that Jennings trophy is just that. It's a defensive award that's given to the goaltenders. But I mean, you have to have the other players in front of you. Connor Hellebuyck has been, and this year especially, we've really noticed how well he has played. You expect it every night, Ted, But this year he's given them a little bit more. And
yeah,
especially against the Los Angeles Kings on Tuesday night, the Jets at times, especially with all of the power plays that were going on for both teams, Connor Hellebuyck had to be very sharp, and he was in that game. Now he comes in, and maybe this might be a harbinger of things to come, or I might have put the kiss of death on him. I don't know yet, but he's won six straight games against the Sharks, but he's going to get the start tonight against San Jose, and he's always been very good in this building. I remember a couple of years ago, the Sharks threw everything at him, and he kicked aside like 35 shots in that game to really backstop Winnipeg to a win they had no business winning. But to get back to be more succinct in answering your question, Connor Hellebuyck has gotten to the point where he is just one team trophy away, I think, from being anointed one of the best goaltenders in American history.
Has the question been asked to the team about taking on a Macklin Celebrini who is, you know, right there at the top of point production in the NHL and is, you know, making a lot of noise to where people are starting to pay attention with his potential inclusion with Team Canada because he's kind of forced the issue?
Yeah, well, I think that when you look at this kid and you say, okay, what are we building for here? Can we find a role for him? Will speed help at this type of tournament? The way he plays the game, the moxie that he has, I think that they seriously have to take a look at him. Doug Armstrong is the general manager. John Cooper is the head coach. I mean, when you look at the body of work, and I know it's not great because it's not expansive. That's what I mean by not great. Mm-hmm. It's 84 games in the National Hockey League. He has 84 points.
Right.
I mean, it's a point per game player as an 18 and 19-year-old. There's not too many that have done that have been snubbed by their home country, their national team, when it comes to playing in international tournaments. I think Macklin Celebrini, and look, there's still a few months to go, and there's a lot of assessment to be made by the people that are picking both Team USA and Team Canada, and we speak of Team Canada in this respect. But I think that if he continues to lead this team, that's the other thing too. Macklin Celebrini putting this team on his back with no captain here in San Jose per se, and guiding them to where they are, I think speaks volumes for the character of the kid off the ice, on the ice, and then as a player. So they would be foolish. It would be folly if Macklin Celebrini wasn't on the radar and somebody wasn't paying close attention to what this kid could provide Canada when it comes to the international stage coming up in Italy in February.
And this is game two of a six-game road trip before you guys are finally back home on the 18th. Does this team, and obviously it's too early to say that anything is decisive, but do they say that if they can take care of business on the road trip, that they won't be sitting pretty, but they'll do the work that they have needed to do in the early goings?
Yeah, I think you want to always take a couple, three steps forward, and if there's one back, then that's fine. Then you three forward again. But, you know, it didn't start well. And I think that they came in with the idea that they were going to come in, win a game, and then set up the rest of the road trip. And now you've got a tough competition ahead of you tonight in a game where, again, here's the San Jose Sharks coming off a very important win within their division on the road, and Winnipeg coming in going, we need to win this game. So expect it to be fast and quick tonight. And I think that if they can stay out of the penalty box, both teams, and especially the Jets, because that's plagued them with having flow for a lot of their games, then we're going to see an exciting game tonight. But yeah, you don't really want to start the road trip 0-2, and then you're going down to play another team that's improved in California and in the Pacific Division, and that's the Anaheim Ducks, much right. Improved, you know, as well. I mean, it used to be a real tough place to come to, California, and then it got a lot easier for a few years, and now it's getting harder again. So I guess when you've been around for as long as we have, you see the rotation and the cyclical effect of rebuilds and then strong teams and then rebuilds again of the National Hockey League. And we're certainly seeing an uptick when it comes to the Anaheim Ducks and the San Jose Sharks.
Well, Paul, have a great call tonight. I appreciate your time as always. I just hope on my end selfishly that you won't have a great call like you did for Connor's overtime winner the other day. That was a very good one. That was on my kid's birthday. He was with me at the Sharks and I got home and I was going through all the, you know, Twitter timeline like you do when you get home to try and catch up on anything. I was like, that's a darn good call right there. So, yeah, have a great one, Paul, and I'll see you in a few hours, all right?
Yeah, okay. Thanks a lot, Ted. Anytime.
Again, that's the play-by-play voice of the Winnipeg Jets, Paul Edmonds. We are out of time. Pre-game 6:30, go time 7 o'clock tonight as the Sharks host the Jets. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yanni.
Kraken D, Adam Larson, lost it, fit in front, Celebrini shoots, he scores! Larson lost it. Toffoli fed it right in front, and Macklin Cetabrini said thank you, and he snapped it home to give the Sharks the 1-0 lead at 1:08 of this first period.